The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
It is that time again. Welcome, friends, to Afternoons with Mike. I'd like to welcome a person into the studio, her first time here. And although I've met her not too long ago, actually in a tour at House of Hope, Angela Lloyd. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a pleasure being here.
You work with somebody that is so just so congenial. I mean, Sarah Trollinger's got to be on that list. If there is such a list of the most congenial people in America, Sarah would be right there. I'm sure you would agree.
I would agree. And she has that amazing North Carolina accent that just kind of brings it all together.
Yes, I agree. It's so charming. And she is, again, so welcoming to people. God has used House of Hope, and we had her and Carla Mathis up in our studio in our first year of doing this program, even before we were in this studio. And I just loved it. I'll never forget the time. And getting to hear Sarah tell the story of House of Hope, President Reagan's involvement,
yes,
and how God uses Sarah's faith. Mm-hmm. In so many ways, that's something you've seen up close.
I have never met anyone with as much faith as Sarah. To think that she started House of Hope based on a prayer,
mm-hmm,
and a leading in her heart to start this ministry with only $200.
$200. If you've heard the story,
yes,
you know the figure. That's right.
And five people praying. And here we are 36 years later. We have never received a penny of government funding. Everything that comes to House of Hope Orlando is through private donations. It's through churches sponsoring House of Hope. It's through foundations and organizations, but not a penny of government funding. And it's trusting God constantly every day to mm-hmm provide. I remember when I was a house parent at House of Hope Orlando 26 years ago, the girls wanted grilled cheese, and we had run out of grilled cheese.
I've heard this, but I want you to share this story. This is amazing.
At that time, we were getting donations from Disney, and we were getting donations from Gooding's grocery store, but we ran out of cheese, and the girls wanted grilled cheese sandwiches. And so Sarah said, well, pray. Let's pray for cheese. And literally the next day, a 50-pound block of cheese was donated to House of Hope. Like, we don't even know where it came from, how it got there. It's just been story after story, miracle after miracle. God provides completely, fully, sometimes in the 11th hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 11:59:59, but
but second to spare.
A second to spare. But he's there, and he does provide. And I think not only is it Sarah's... not only is it her faith, but it's her obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know many people that would hear from the Lord and then obey and do what he, because a lot of people would be afraid. You know, a lot of people would be scared to, wow, that's a really big calling you have for me, Lord. You know, mm-hmm, I only have $200. I don't have a place. Where do you want me to put these kids? But she had faith and she obeyed, which I think is huge.
You know, when you think about looking backwards at a ministry like House of Hope, mm-hmm, and you don't, if you didn't know the beginning, if you didn't know what Sarah went through with that faith,
yes,
it would be easy to kind of come away with a thought like, that would go something like this. Well, it's easy when you have got such a wonderful ministry and it's going the way it's gone. And, you know, that's something that is easy to do, right? Well, it wasn't easy to do it. In the beginning, she didn't have any history to lean on. And mm-hmm, all you really are doing is you're leaning on the faith that, yes, God has put in your own heart for a task that would seem to me to be impossible.
Yes.
And how can you do it?
Well, it just is completely relying on God, and it's trusting. There's a difference, I think, too, between faith and trust, because you can have faith in something, but when you trust mm-hmm. that God is going to provide, I think that brings you to a deeper level. And that's definitely what Sarah has had all of these years. It's what she has instilled in all of us who have worked with her throughout the years. When she started House of Hope, it was just House of Hope then. Now it's House of Hope Orlando, because we have 5 locations across the country, and there's National House of Hope, which helps start other House of Hopes. But the one that we're talking about here in Orlando, mm-hmm. now House of Hope Orlando. And she didn't have a building. They found a house, and the owner wanted $115,000 for it. And she prayed, and she felt like the Lord was telling her to offer $95,000, but they didn't have any money yet. They had $200. And so she offered $95,000, and they agreed to the $95,000. And she said, the only thing I have for a down payment is the $200. And they said, okay, well, you have to bring the rest to closing. She still didn't have it. So she and the people that were praying with her, they wrote out a grant, and they weren't sure what to ask for. And so actually I think the grant came first. She wasn't sure what to ask for, and it was $95,000 is what the Lord told her. And then the people have agreed to take the house for $95,000. Anyway, the day before the closing, the money for the grant came in. So, yeah.
And some people would look at that and they would say, that's either amazing or it's crazy. It's not mm-hmm. anywhere in between. You don't buy a house, right? I mean, typically you wouldn't advise somebody to put money down on a house, even if it's only $200, if you don't have the money.
If you don't have the money. Yeah, and she didn't have it. And she was just trusting. Again, it's the trust.
Yeah.
You have the faith that he can do it, but it's the trust that he will.
And I think the thing that we so often forget is that God at times calls us to do what is seemingly, or impossible. At least in the eyes of where we are in the natural, impossible.
Yes.
Well, we can't do it.
Yes.
And I know that when Cindy and I were called to move down, we felt called to move to Florida. I did not have a job down here that was going to pay us. And yet when it came right down to it, we felt urged to go mm-hmm. from God. And mm-hmm. and so it was. It's one of those moments where you trust. And some could call that blind trust. And that's would only be true if you didn't know the Lord. Because
correct.
If you know the Lord and he's the one that's impressing you to do it, then your faith is in him. It's not just like stepping out in presumption.
Right, exactly.
And that's what's happened. And her stories, I mean, she could probably spend a week of telling us stories after story. That's
sure.
just amazing.
For sure. Well, the story about the house gets even better because the property was located, or House of Hope was located there at that property for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, some way, Sarah got wind that I-4 was going to eventually buy up the property. And
yeah.
of course they don't normally pay, you know, what the property is really worth, but because she knew ahead of time, she went to them and someone came out and looked at the property and she explained what their ministry was all about. And he said, well, how much do you want for the property? And she said, $2 million. And they paid her $2 million.
Isn't that amazing?
What a return on an investment.
Yeah.
She paid $95,000 and they got $2 million for it. And that's how she was able to which is another testimony, able to find the property that we have been on for the past 25, 24 years. And it's a beautiful peninsula. It's on 10 acres. You've been there, 15
mm-hmm.
buildings.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much peace there. And it's really, truly beautiful. And just to know that God just provided all of that is
wow.
just phenomenal.
It is.
From $200.
From $200. And I was going to say, even though she bought it for $95,000, she really didn't have that $95,000 mm-hmm. herself.
No.
So it really did come from a prayer and friends praying and faith and $200.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that is just as close as we're probably going to come to a miracle of the loaves and fish, right?
Yes, that's right, right? Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I just love this story. As many times as I hear it, I am reminded of the fact that God is able to do more than we can ask mm-hmm. or imagine. That's just what our Lord does.
Right. Yes.
Well, tell us about you. How did you end up in Florida? Where did you grow up? How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I grew up in South Florida, Margate, Tamarack, Coral Springs areas, born in Hollywood, Florida. I got saved when I was 5 years old at a Hollywood Baptist church, was baptized there. Didn't really have my own personal relationship with the Lord until I was probably about 14. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a lot of dysfunction in my family life, which I think is part of the reason why the Lord brought me to House of Hope as a house parent. I'll get to that in a minute, because I think I could really relate to what some of the girls were going through. I was a Christian and my parents were Christian, but there was still a lot of dysfunction in that home. And so, but the Lord really used that, I think, to prepare my heart. I was probably about 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there when I fully rededicated my life to the Lord, mm-hmm. and really started on that personal relationship. I went to a fantastic church down in Margate called Abundant Life Christian Center, and my youth group, Alpha Zoe, was my life. And it was, I'm so grateful to the Lord for the foundation, the biblical spiritual foundation that I found there, and the safety. It was my safe place, mm-hmm. and I'm so grateful for it. I went to a private Christian school, Westminster Academy, which is in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if you remember Dr. D. James Kennedy.
Absolutely,
Reverend.
Yes, yeah.
I went to school there.
Coral Ridge.
Mm-hmm, Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. I mm-hmm. actually graduated with Basile Tavidian, who was one of Billy Graham's grandkids, mm-hmm. and rode the school bus with Billy Graham's grandkids. They're awesome people. So I was living down there, grew up in that area. When it came time for college, I just did not have really a desire. I didn't like school, but I was great at my theater stuff from my youth group. And so I chose a career of going into auditions for commercials and TV and stuff like that. And but I was doing that for a while. I found myself up in Orlando. I moved up to Orlando. I'm not even really quite sure how that happened, but I was looking for a place to live. I needed a new roommate apartment. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that I knew who knew a girl named Pam, and Pam needed a roommate. And so he connected us. And so when I was talking to Pam on the phone about being her roommate, she says, "Well, but it comes with a job." And I'm like, And at that time, I actually had started going back to school. I started to go back to school for child psychology, because mm-hmm. I realized several years had gone by and I realized, okay, this is really what I want to do. I want to work with kids, specifically teenagers. And I really wanted to have a summer theater program at some point for kids who had been abused. And so she told me that, you know, the apartment comes with a job. And I'm, okay, that doesn't really make sense. So she told me all about House of Hope.
Oh.
Because she was a house parent there.
Okay.
And so I came in for an interview with Sarah and Sandy. And before I knew it, before I left that day, I was offered the job. So I became a house parent at House of Hope. Had no idea what I was doing as far as, you know, trying to leave. But it was God. It was totally the Lord. Things that I had gone through in my life, these girls had gone through, and it was like for the first time they realized, wow, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone. Somebody else has gone through this. Somebody else has walked through this same path, you know? And so it was healing for me. It was healing for them. And to be able to walk them through their healing and the Lord heal me in certain areas at the same time, to me, was mind blowing. It was the absolute best job I've ever had in my entire life. I loved my time at House of Hope. I loved my girls. We had 24 girls in the program at a time. At that time, I had 8 girls in my house that I was responsible for.
These kids that are there at House of Hope often have been
yes.
almost thrown away
yes.
by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
How was it looking into their world?
It was comforting to know that I could relate.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad was an alcoholic. I didn't meet my biological dad till I was 18. My mom was a workaholic, and her work was really just a way of escaping reality. There was so much chaos, at home. My sisters were 20, 16, and 8 years older than me. So I was the pleasant surprise.
You were the youngest of all.
I was the youngest. Mm-hmm. And so they were gone. So I really was more like an only child. And so I was extremely lonely growing up. If it had not been for my dog, Holly, and my youth group and my church, I don't think that I would have made it to adulthood, because mm-hmm. my heart was so broken. And I was so lonely, because my parents weren't there for me. I didn't have a connection with them. I didn't have the relationship with them, because they were just always in turmoil with each other. So when I was able to, and you know, I had family members who had been sexually abused, by the grace of God, I was spared that. Thank you, Lord. But I could understand how it affects people long term, mm-hmm. what abuse does, how it shatters a person's soul, how it shatters their spirit, the long-term choices that they wind up making because of the abuse that they've gone through, because I saw it in my sisters who were so much older, and the choices that they were making based on the abuse that they had gone through as a kid. So when I came into House of Hope and I'm dealing with these girls who had been abused, had been sexually abused, girls who had been, like you said, just kind of thrown away, mm-hmm. Maybe not literally physically thrown out of the house, but emotionally thrown away, emotionally yeah. abandoned. I could definitely relate to all of that. And I love, to this day, I love my girls. And what's so amazing is over the past 5 or 6 years, because of Facebook and, you know, social media and email, which we didn't have all that back mm-mm, then, no. and cell phones, I've been able to reconnect with most of my girls, and it has been one of the greatest joys of my life.
That's very clear that you love what you're doing. And, you know, when you think about the loneliness that you encountered, and yet today with all of the technology and the connectivity that we have with phones and mm-hmm. social media and all, it's so easy for a lot of these kids that are growing up today who are also growing up in dysfunction to be even more lonely, yes. even with all of what would look like the apparent trappings of connectivity, yet it's a virtual connectivity, and yeah. it's often not real at all for them. And they feel even more isolated, perhaps, than what people who lived in a time without all of that.
Yes, I agree, because it's not real. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can post what you want people to see.
Yeah.
On Facebook. And I think with kids, especially adults too, but I think especially with kids, with teenagers, it creates such a comparison of your life. And when people are posting all of this positive, great, everything is wonderful, look at my life, and you realize, wow, my life's not like that. My family life is turmoil. It breeds this, in other words, you're not satisfied with your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't become satisfied with your own life at that point, because you're constantly wanting what somebody else has.
More things about this wonderful ministry called House of Hope. It's in Orlando. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
My guest in the studio today is Angela Lloyd. She's the executive director of Orlando's House of Hope. If you've heard of Sarah Trollinger, well, then you know what a wonderful work this is. And she has for years. We talked about it in segment one, Angela, the phrase of throwaway kids. In the mm-hmm. beginning, she felt the call of God to be an advocate for these kids who had no other voice,
yes.
who had no other place. When I first heard the phrase that Sarah used back then, this whole concept of being throwaway kids, mm-hmm. it was almost shocking to my brain to use that term.
Yes.
But when you began to hear what these kids have gone through, it was an accurate term. And it was truly a moving thing for my heart to realize that these kids, even though I'm a dad at this point, and I've got a daughter at that point and a son, a young son, I could not personally relate to it. But when I began to look at what they were doing, you begin to see how real it is.
Right.
And
yes.
Just because I didn't personally or couldn't personally relate to it did not take away from the fact that these kids had gone through horrible things. And I tell you, for the rest of us that haven't, we need to be, what you said, we need to be grateful for the things that we've been spared.
Yes.
But we also need to be praying for the people who were not spared.
Yes, for sure. When what you just said about throwaway kids made me think of my cousin Jenny, who says that I coined the phrase latchkey kid because that was me. I would come home every day to an empty house. And there's so many kids now today that are the same way. They come home to an empty house and they have nothing. They have no one there except the internet and their cell phones. And it's amazing to me. It blows my mind that you can type in a 4-letter word and get the most disgusting images there are on the face of the earth.
Right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. And that breaks my heart for our for this generation, for the generations to come. That should never be that easy for a child to see pornography for the first time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine you're trying to type in corn and you accidentally put in a P, and then all of a sudden all of these images come up. That just breaks my heart that we as a society don't protect our children more. But that's what the kids that we're dealing with. Not only that, but there's cyberbullying. You know, it was one thing to be bullied in school, right? When you were a kid back in my day, if you were bullied, you'd go to your teacher, you go to a parent, and it was dealt with. Nowadays, it's not dealt with. Mm-hmm. And now kids are dealing with being bullied online and being told that they need to commit suicide. They need to kill themselves because they look this way or they don't have this or they do have this. It's just crazy. I think this generation deals with so much more than I ever had to deal with. I'm sure more than you ever had to deal with.
I'm sure that's true.
And they need our help, because how do they know how to navigate this if we're not there to help them through it? I know with my son, I have to be there for him. I've had to be there for him to help him navigate this. And because of, you know, talking to him at such a young age and just sharing with him, he's feels safe to come to me, even at 20 years old now, to share things with me. Mom, look at this. What do you think of this? But if kids don't have that, who do they go to?
And I think every parent, even if you wonder about your kids, every parent should realize that what you've talked about, this thing about being isolated, this issue of bullying, our kids are facing it. If they're in public schools, without a doubt, one degree or another, they've experienced almost every one of those things about feeling alone or feeling not good enough or having an aspect of their life. I mean, how mean is that, that an entire communication system could be battering our children with these kinds of lies and we not even know about it?
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. And we not even know about it. Exactly. That is such a great point, because a lot of parents don't even monitor their children's social media. They don't even monitor, you know, what platforms are they using? Are they on TikTok? Are they on Instagram? Are they on Facebook? What are they doing? They have no clue. They have no clue about the private messaging that's going on between girls and boys exposing themselves to each other. They have no idea, because they don't take the time to invest and look and say, and because it's a lot of parents are afraid that they're going to offend their kids. My son or my daughter will be mad at me if I look at their Instagram or if I look at their private messaging. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I always had access to everything that my son, because when a child knows, ooh, somebody's going to be looking at this, there's accountability.
Yeah, and that can be one of the biggest deterrents to the activity that shouldn't be involved with in the first place if they know they're going to get caught. Now, I know there are some kids, their temperament is, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to be bothered by the fact that they're going to be asked about it later. But many, if not most, that would not be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't want to, I mean, I think there's obviously a level of shame there. So people are going to avoid the shame if they can, you know? So that's where that comes. And then there's drugs. I mean, today, every street corner, you can get drugs. I mean, kids go to school and they can get drugs so easily. It wasn't like that when I was a kid growing up. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I grew up in South Florida, not too far from the Fort Lauderdale Strip, you know? So, and it was, there was definitely craziness down there, but I never had anyone offer me drugs growing up. And today it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's sad. It's sad that we're not protecting our children more.
Well, I'm praying that all parents that are listening to this right now would be encouraged to do just that. Get involved. Ask lots of questions. Don't be afraid. You know, I think one of the things, Angela, that a lot of parents do is they try to make that transition to friendship maybe a little earlier than they should. And as a result, their kids are needing more involvement, more guidance than what parents are thinking they should do. And there's this, we give into this thought about not wanting, like you said, not wanting to distance ourselves with our kids. And yet we need to be right there. And even if they don't apparently appreciate it right now, down the road, they will.
Eventually, they will, for sure. I mean, I am not a perfect parent by any means, so I don't want to make it this come across that I am. But the one thing that I have said to my son many times is, I am not your buddy. I'm not your pal. I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. I'm your mom. And you treat me with respect and you honor and you obey, because I'm not here. I'm here to guide you. I'm not here to befriend you. And hang out with you. I mean, obviously we spend time together, but I'm not here to hang out with you like your friends do.
Not just a partying buddy, you know, here just to have a good time or whatever. And I think that's a mistake. And even if parents who are hearing this have made that mistake, it's not too late to change.
It's not.
You know, one of the most wonderful things that we can do is to go back and repent to our kids and say, you know, I have not been as involved, and that's on me. That's not your fault. That one is on me. But things are going to be different. You know, we're different now. And if it's real, that kid's going to see it, even if they don't immediately see it.
Yes.
They're going to catch on to the fact that mom or dad is serious.
Yes.
And hey, this is the, this is now the new way that we're going to do it.
There's many times I've had to go and apologize to my son, but I think that that's part of having a real relationship, because if you are just that parent that is the authority figure lording over, as opposed to having that balance of, yes, I am your authority, you need to respect me, but when I make mistakes, I'm going to apologize to you as well. It's that mutual respect. There was a situation that my son was in not too long ago, and it was a very deep conversation between him and his friend. And in the beginning of the conversation, he was mad. I could see it all over his face. He was so mad at me that I was bringing the topic up and that I was having this discussion with him and his other friend. And at the end of the conversation, he said, "Thanks, Mom." He said, "I was really mad at you at the beginning of this, but I'm really glad you said what you said, because we needed to hear it."
It's funny how we can go 180, start off mad, start off upset, and then before that conversation is over, with the help of God, they can have the light turn on in their mind and they see what's really going on.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned that you were a house mother during that those years, and you got to be there. You saw it up front. You were one who would talk to these girls, and you knew what was going on. And then after a while, you left that to go into the field that you were working and kind of aiming for. Tell us about that.
Well, I actually, before I even came to House of Hope, I was pursuing an acting career. So I did a lot of commercials and stuff like that, a lot of runway shows. When I left House of Hope, my father had passed away, my biological father. And that's the reason why I left House of Hope, because it was just too much for me to grieve the, his loss and still be there for the girls. He didn't feel like it was the right time anymore to be there for the girls. So I went ahead and pursued my career, and I moved out to LA and Worked on several different TV shows. I worked on Star Trek Voyager. I worked on Days of Our Lives, mostly small parts, nothing major. I worked on Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields.
So you had parts, though. You were on camera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so I got to do a lot of really fun stuff as a spokesmodel for Pepsi. I was a spokesmodel for Speed Vision, which later became Speed. It's a cable network, cars, boats, planes, motorcycles, 24/7. So I had a very fun, exciting life with Speed. I traveled all over the country. I met some wonderful people, worked with fantastic actors. It was such a great time of my life. But it was also a very dark time of my life because I was very angry with God during that time. Mm. Because my dad had passed away and I didn't understand. Again, I didn't meet him till I was 18. Whole long story that I could write a book on maybe one day. But there was a lot of anger in my heart towards God. I felt like, you know, Lord, I had served. I served in my youth group. I've been faithful. I've been this, I've been that, always bringing it back to me, right? You know, I was a house parent at House of Hope. I've given all of this time to ministry. And you took the one thing that I really wanted, which was my dad.
Mm-hmm. And you felt you needed.
I needed. Yeah, I felt like I needed. And so it was a dark time, even though it was a really fun and exciting time. It was also a dark time. But it was a time that I needed to go through. It was a time that I needed to go through to bring me back to where the Lord really wanted me to be. I got pregnant with my son when I was out in California. I was a single mom and I was horribly sick with my pregnancy. And so I was hospitalized 3 times within the first 3 months. It was out there by myself. I had no one. And then I moved back to South Florida, had my son, and at 2 years of age, he was diagnosed with autism. And my whole life completely changed. And he was nonverbal till he was 4, couldn't even put a sentence together till he was 7. And God has done an amazing work in his life. But it took all of that to get me back to where God really wanted me to be, mm-hmm. where I needed to be in my relationship with him, and to be able to find forgiveness for myself for the choices that I had made. I don't regret any of it because I know Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose."
That's so true.
And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has used the whole experience for my good and for his glory, because I'm giving him glory now. And I give him glory every day for the way that he has worked in my life and transformed my life and my son. So he's now 20 years old. He graduated magna cum laude from a local private school here. Spent the last year of his high school years, his senior year of high school, we went to New York and he took professional acting classes because that's what he loves now. And it's just really been amazing what God has done in his life and what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. So the experience out in LA, although it was great and it was fun and it was exciting and I did so many wonderful things, my heart was always at House of Hope.
Isn't that something? You're out there and you think you've gone out there to do the very thing you're doing.
Yes.
And you think that would bring that satisfaction and fulfillment.
Right.
And yet what you had done before you ever left.
Yep.
Is what you really were longing for.
Well, and the reason why is because I knew that God was using me. I knew that I was supposed to be there at that time for specific girls. If there was ever a time in my life that I knew that I was fulfilling the calling that God gave to me, it was during that time. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that these girls trusted me. They were confided in me. One of my girls, and I will mention her name because she's amazing. Her name is Chris Fitzgerald. She had gone through things that she had never told anybody. And she had been in the program for about 8 months. And I was the first person that she had confided in. But because of that, because when you finally let it out, you know, and you're finally honest about what's going on in your life, then you can start to heal. So long story short, she's amazing. She graduated from the program, graduated from high school, went into the military, went to college, got a bachelor's, two master's, became a licensed mental health counselor.
Wow.
And now she has just been elected city council for Lake Wales.
And that's an overachiever right there.
That's amazing. But I'll tell you what, that's not who she was when she was a teenager. That is not who she was. And I'm so, but it's like, I know that I'm just a small fraction of that success, because I know that if the Lord didn't use me at that time, I mean, I was there, so he used me. He could have used anyone. So this isn't about me. But I'm so grateful and I'm so humbled that the Lord allowed me to be a part of Chris's story.
My guest today is Angela Lloyd from House of Hope. She's the executive director. We're going to have one more segment with her coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
It's a real joy to have with me in the studio Angela Lloyd. Angela is the executive director of House of Hope. You said something during the break. I want to circle back to that. You told me during the break, and I'd like for you to expand on this, that you would believe that all of the things that happened to you, even in the years after your first iteration with House of Hope, all of those things, those crazy events, some of them that you would look back, you would do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, God redeemed all those.
Yes.
And really used those to equip you.
God showed me his faithfulness when I was pregnant with my son and I was so sick. I couldn't work. My work made me stop working. My doctor made me stop working. I had no money coming in. I had cats. I had no money for food for my cats. I didn't have money for my electricity, for food. It was a very, very dark time. But every time I turned around, the Lord was providing. I had a mailman who, Dan the mailman, he had a big box full of cats, trial size cat foods that he was supposed to deliver to his entire route. I won't say his last name because I don't ever want him to get in trouble, but he delivered that entire box to my door.
Oh my,
because
goodness.
He knew that I needed the food for the cats. I had a friend that came and paid the electric bill. I had another friend that came and brought groceries. I had another friend that bought me an airline ticket to get home. Another friend that paid to get my boxes shipped back to Florida. Every time I turned around, God showed his faithfulness. I had turned my back on the Lord when I left House of Hope because it was so angry and so bitter. I was so hurt. And I had turned my back on the Lord, but he turned me around and he said, I'm here. And he took care of every single need that I had. It now, just.
What was it like then to realize that he was doing that? And then at some point you obviously repented for all of that. Yeah. What was that like?
Humbling. It was so humbling just to know that that's how much the Lord loves me, that I could be so blatantly disobedient, but he would turn around and accept me and provide for me and be there for me anyway. Mm. Just, it's mind-blowing, really, but it's very humbling. And I don't ever want to do anything that would disappoint the Lord. I do, obviously, because we're sinners saved by grace.
Yes, we are.
But it's really amazing. I pray constantly, Lord, whatever you want me to do. My constant prayer is, God, open up the right doors and slam the wrong ones shut in my face so hard that I have no doubt whatsoever, because I don't want to be anywhere but in your will. I don't want to try to do this on my own anymore. I don't want to try to blaze my own path. I want the path that you have for me. And wherever you tell me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it took going through all of that for me to be able to truly surrender my life and truly say, and I just want you to do. And that's honestly how I was led back to House of Hope, Orlando, this time around.
Yeah. And, you know, a broken heart like that is a beautiful thing to the Lord. He is a one who loves a contrite spirit.
Yes.
And that contrition that you were experiencing is what he was preparing for you.
Yes.
Now, in the beginning, back in the first time you would have been there, they were only dealing with young ladies at that point in time, right?
Correct. Correct.
And in some at some point, they opened it up to kind of a co-ed facility.
Correct. We take boys and girls now. We have, we can house up to 30 teenagers. We have six girls to a house, or six teenagers to a house. We have three girls' houses and two boys' houses.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have two houses under renovation. We are, this property is about 24 years old. And so are the buildings.
And things just don't work forever, do they?
They don't. They don't. So there are definitely a lot of needs at House of Hope. By the grace of God, Keller Williams Real Estate Company has donated remodeling two of our houses, one girl's house and one boy's house. So they're working on the girl's house. But it's all donations. It's all volunteer time. They're not getting paid to do this, so they're trying to raise money and find flooring and paint and new cabinets and all that. And then they have their employees come in and volunteer and help out. But there are a lot of needs at House of Hope. Their funding has not... I've been the executive director since January, so I'm brand new in this. Let me just backtrack a little bit. I spent this last year, the last year of my son's school year, we spent in New York, as I mentioned. And on March 2nd, I fractured my ankle. And then COVID hit on March 17th. Everything was shut down. And then we were stuck there for 2 months. When we finally did make it back to Florida, my ankle was still healing. And so I was without a job. And I was just, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I don't know where you want me, what you want me to do, but I will go wherever you want. And went to the House of Hope reunion, met Carla, who is the president of National House of Hope.
Carla Mathis.
Mm-hmm. And so she hired me just to help out a little bit with National, because I told her, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to be serving again. My son is now graduated. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I have no idea what the Lord wants me to do. I just know that I'm supposed to be serving again. And so she hired me to help out with National. And about 3 weeks later, I got a call from Sarah asking me if I wanted to be the next executive director of House of Hope Orlando, and screamed at the top of my lungs because I was so excited. And it was amazing. So fun. So, but I didn't realize coming in that there were so many needs. I guess COVID hit House of Hope Orlando very hard. Our funding was very low. And the buildings, you know, need a lot of help. And that's okay. It's okay that there's no shame in that. It's where we are, but there are definitely a lot of monetary needs, just our daily operating expenses and need to hire more staff to help. But in all of that, the Lord provides again, sometimes in the 11th hour, he still provides for all of our needs, and we're so grateful and we're so blessed. I'm so blessed to be there. I love my job. I feel like I've come home, even though it's a different property. I was away for a couple of days because I had a conference yesterday. We went to the Pastor's Masters Golf Scramble up in Lake Mary. And so I was away for a few days, and then I saw the kids yesterday, a couple of them. And that reminds me, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing this. We currently have a full girls' house, and the second house, the boys' houses, and we have a waiting list for the girls. And so we do need to open up another house. I need to hire more staff. I need to hire house parents. And we do have boys' houses filling up. We have three boys coming in this month, praise God. So that's very exciting. Need to hire another male house staff. So there are definitely needs. And it takes a community. We are missions. And a lot of people don't think of that because, you know, we're called an organization. It's a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But we are missions.
Now, you know, you said something in, and I think a lot of people would wonder why, if there is funding available from the government. But I know why. But I'd like for you to kind of articulate why that's a big deal that House of Hope has not given into what would look like the easy way out and accept yes. government funding.
It would be so much easier to just take the government funding and to pay for our buildings to be fixed and to pay for our staff and to buy computers for the kids or whatever they need. But if we did that, we wouldn't be able to talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about Jesus.
And and you would basically be falling under the control.
Yes.
I mean, somebody... once made that famous statement that there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Right.
And there's no such thing as a free way.
Correct.
When it comes down to getting things like those needs being met.
Correct. And it really is all about Jesus at House of Hope. When the kids come in, they're so angry and hard and cold and broken. It isn't until they receive Christ and their parents receive Christ that you really start to see the transformation. You start to see the change, but that usually takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any kids that come in and get saved the first day. It doesn't work like that. They usually have on front, you know, I'm going to make it through this. I'm just going to fake it until I make it. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Especially because they're there for so long, 8 months to 2 years, the real them comes out, you know? And so they... It's really when they receive Christ and they start receiving the inner healing and they start receiving discipleship and counseling, that's when their lives begin to change. But all of that takes money.
Mm-hmm.
It all takes money. And so with COVID, our funding apparently was very low last year. We just pray. That's what we do, Lord. And we constantly surrender the ministry to the Lord because it's not our ministry. It's not Sarah's ministry. This is God's ministry. And so we surrender it to him. And Lord, if you want these doors to stay open, if you want us to take care of these kids, then you need to provide. And mm-hmm. he does. So that we know that this is what the Lord wants, that we know that we're doing what he's called us to do.
I know there's two ways, and that would be, first of all, through individual giving. Any mm-hmm. individual can give to House of Hope. And of course, churches or mm-hmm. businesses
yes.
can also then jump in and for a church, like you said, they could look at this as a local
yes,
missionary.
It is. It's missions. It's missions mm-hmm. right in our own backyard. We don't have a whole lot of missionaries in Orlando. You think of missionaries being over in different countries in Uganda or, you know, in small little villages. But no, we are missions right here because we raise all of our own support. Parents, it costs about $3,000 a month to house a resident at House of Hope Orlando. And that's because we pay for their housing, their electricity, their water, their education, everything, mm-hmm. Their counseling. And the parents are not able to pay a fraction of that. So we have to come up with the extra money. So anything and everything that people are able to donate to House of Hope, their time, their resources, their talents, especially their money right at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
So gifts are obviously needed. And also maybe some organizations, like you said, that Keller Williams did and mm-hmm. other places, there may have some abilities, resources for
yes.
building or repairing these mm-hmm. buildings that
yes.
are there. That would be welcomed as
yeah.
well.
Or sponsoring a child.
Mm-hmm.
You can sponsor a child. And we would be happy to keep that child in contact with you so you can see how they're growing and how they're doing. It's $3,000 a month for a child to be there. Even if you just did a partial sponsor,
mm-hmm.
it would be very helpful.
Can you give us the web address?
Yes, it's houseofhopeorlando.org.
houseofhopeorlando.org. And, you know, the goals would be for this next year is to get this some new staff you mentioned
yes.
and maybe to get some of these buildings that are on the property
mm-hmm.
in use and kind of bring the repairs to a point where they could be used.
Yes, sustainable. Right now we have a need for our walk-in freezer / cooler needs to be replaced. It's old. It
mm-hmm.
just needs to be replaced. We're having problems with that. We need an AC unit in the gym that needs to be replaced. Actually, two of them. But one looks like it's going to, we'll be able to get it up and running. But again, all of that costs money. All of our AC units on the property are from 98.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're old. They need to be replaced.
Time for service, and in some instances, time to be replaced.
Yes.
So it's been so great to talk with you, Angela. This is Angela Lloyd, Executive Director of House of Hope in Orlando. And do say hello to Sarah for us, if you will.
I will. Thank you. And Carla.
And Carla. That's right. And friends, thank you for being with us today as well on this program featuring House of Hope Orlando. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.